We are recording. We are live. This is
shit. Hey, there it is.
And everybody's present.
There is the bouton.
Yeah. There's Aaron, myself, Brad. There's Matt. We're all here. And we're ready for another week because we've got some news for you. We've got some talking about a little bit of cars and coffee and some good guys show news. And I think Matt's going to talk about some Ford stuff.
Yeah, I got some questions. I got some project stuff.
And I got a new project. And I have a new project. Oh. I'm starting. Yep.
A new project that's not the guest house for your mom.
Correct the movie.
Brad's got a new hip.
Yeah. I tell you what. Before we get started, a shout out to our friends at Geico. I'm going to use this piece of paper right here and cover Aaron's face. And do this ad that we're apart these days. We are sharing more, and Geico would just like to say thanks for that. Thanks for sharing all your great videos, your car videos, your dog videos, your DIY haircut fails. I think that's a video that's pretty popular as well. Oh, well, the TikTok stuff too. Are you guys on the TikTok? Have you heard of that?
I don't want the Chinese on my.
You guys need to get on the TikTok.
Brad, he said the TikTok.
I know.
I bet he says the booze and the marijuana.
Well, let's keep doing the podcast.
The Facebook.
I just say you're the on Facebook. The pot. Yeah, you're on the pot. Okay, so as we were saying, it's Geico's turn to share as well, and they're doing their Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both current and new customers. And because Geico is committed for the long haul, that 15% credit lasts a full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info. That's geico.com/giveback.
Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Every Day Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on podcastone.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a Beard Bro beard-shaping tool to tame that unruly corona facial hair, and a Chew face mask so you can silently protest how f***ing stupid all of this is. A 6-foot premium beer bong by beerbong.com so you can slug back a few cold, endless rants when the world officially opens up again. And of course, a bottle of your choice. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
And places with your hosts Brad Vanjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Before we get into this, this news just came in as we're recording, hot off the press. unfortunately, Alex Zanardi, as you guys know, yep. a racing car driver, was in a terrible accident. Almost 19 years ago, right? And he lost his legs. And then he went on to be like a Paralympic champion on his bike. I forgot the name of it. I'm sure there's a technical name, so forgive me. But you sit down in the bike and you kind of pedal with your hands. It's kind of low. Apparently, this hand bike. Apparently
isn't that
today
retailer or something like that.
Today, he was riding his bike. I don't know that it was in a competition of sorts, but he was out riding or training, and not a lot of detail other than he was in an accident and he was airlifted out, severe head trauma. Which I can't help but think of,
Schumacher.
And they said it was just a heavy vehicle, and I can't tell if it was a semi truck or if it was one of those wreckers towing a semi truck, because they said there was, a truck on the side of the road with a semi in Italy. This is in Italy.
Wow.
Zanardi is 53 years old. He remained conscious until medical personnel arrived, and he was breathing on his own. It took about 20 minutes for medical personnel and an ambulance to arrive. I believe his wife was there or was able to show up quickly and help. Airlifted out, and hopefully he's going to overcome. I will tell you this. Very few people can overcome physical tragedy and mental tragedy more than somebody like Alex Zanardi. He is a rock star of a person, his enthusiasm and what he's able to do. He won 4 gold medals in his hand bike competitions at the 2012 and 2016 Paralympics. You will be finding out, or you will be seeing before this show airs, many people in the IndyCar world, the IndyCar series itself, Mario Andretti, Graham Rahal, Simon Pagenaud, everybody's reaching out, wishing him the best, and we are doing the same. So hopefully by the time you guys hear this episode, there'll be some better news spread about him.
He's
a fighter, man. That dude's
definitely
a fighter.
One of those guys. He just translated his competitive spirit directly to this, you know, other sport. But I've got to say, I have seen guys around Southern California, they're in those lay down bikes, you know. I know his is more of a hand, but
recumbents. Those,
yes. And they usually have a flag on them or something, because you lose them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You don't expect them on the street. That's the problem. But let's hope he comes back around and can just reapply himself and have a great life. That's tragic. Thanks for starting out the show on an up note, Matt. Appreciate that.
Sorry, but it's important bit of news because he's a good guy, and it's got a lot of fans out there. And if you haven't seen this, you should, things are bad, and hopefully this is one of those things that he can recover from right now.
Absolutely.
So our best wishes for Alex.
Something else right now. And one of the things is that, everything's changing. I mean, just when you think, oh, this isn't going to happen, something else happens. But cars and coffee are one of the things that do seem to be kind of coming back around. Don't you guys think so?
Well, I hope so. Sort of a social distancing version of it. Yes.
Well, yeah.
Our ones up here in Tahoe have been not cars and coffee, but we've had a little Friday night car meet, and it's been exploding. C10 trucks mostly, and a bunch of JDMs, a bunch of tuners. It's interesting.
Nice. Well, I know here in Orange County they did that. They've been doing the quarantine cruise. And it has exploded. It's like pent up demand, and the people, they had almost 2,000 cars last weekend, which is nuts, you know. And
it's crazy.
But we're seeing the photos being posted all across the country, and at the same time, we're hearing about you know, spikes in the virus and things like that. And here in California, it's mandatory masks again everywhere.
Yeah, as of yesterday, right?
Yeah, as of yesterday. And in Arizona, the governor said, I mean, Arizona's about as I'm on my own state as it is. And he said yesterday that they had the highest level of cases since the entire beginning. So they've made them highly, highly recommended. They don't make them mandatory over there. They make them highly recommended.
I mean, and somebody's calling.
And I put it on mute, it still comes through.
Yeah, someone's calling Brad. Someone wants some wheels. They're ready. They're back in the garage.
Well, go ahead and take the call, Brad, because as you can see, I'm stuck in traffic.
I can see that. And Matt's got a car right on his back. I mean, that guy's been tailgating you the whole time, Matt.
Mm. You know, he's drifting, though, it looks like.
I do have some questions for you guys. I was going to comment on the coronavirus stuff, but screw it. I don't want to get into the politics and all the blah, blah, blah.
You could just go down that rabbit hole and it'd be a whole show. The thing is, though, is that Good Guys, they were one of the organizations that had put out a schedule starting in July, and they had said, here's our schedule. Well, now I've gotten an email from them this week that Des Moines, 4th of July weekend, I believe it's their Heartland Nationals, is going to happen with a lot of rules, a lot of regulations. However, they have canceled what is usually one of their largest, if not their largest of the year, which is Columbus, which is where they do Street Machine of the Year.
Yeah.
They do, you know, Truck of the Year, all kinds of things. And they could not get approval from the state of Ohio to do this event. And all of their other events for the year are pending still. So you're going to have
Des Moines is good.
Des Moines is good.
Because that's a fun word to say, Des Moines.
Des Moines. Des Moines.
Des Moines. Des Moines. Des Moines. Des Moines. Hey, did you see that kangaroo? Des Moines. Des Moines.
Let's try it once. Go ahead. Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
You were Des Moines. Des Moines.
No, come on. All three of them.
He's not getting it. He's not getting it.
We should start a new app called Des Moines.
No, one more time. Here we go, Matt.
Des Moines. Des Moines. Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines? Des Moines?
Des Moines? Oh, man.
People on the other end watching this are going, what happened to these guys? So,
all right. So, speaking of events.
So, I was driving down the road and I heard this Des Moines, Des Moines, Des Moines. I was like, and I found out it was a broken shock. But,
yeah. Well, probably on your trailer. That thing's a train wreck.
Shocks.
So, speaking of events, I had a chance to speak with some of the reps at IndyCar this past week, and Roger Penske wants that event to happen. He's moving forward as if that event will happen. He wants the grandstands full. He wants the infield full. He's made a bunch of improvements to the facility out there, working on the city officials and the government on making that happen. He's got a great relationship with there. So it sounds like it's moving forward, but they have no guarantees yet. And as you guys know, this is pretty significant to the town as well, right? Any companies that have survived the past couple of months are probably really relying on hundreds of thousands of people going there.
Hotels, retailers.
Supporting the restaurants and the bars and in the hotels, like you're saying, and just – you know, anything from convenience stores and, you know, if you guys have been, and it's just the amount of people that, you know, you have to park far away and just walk up and there's coolers and drinks and ice and it's just, it's such a huge
bootleg t-shirts and
I mean, just such a big party that I hope it happens. If it does, I think I would go. So we don't know for sure. But we also don't know when the deadline is because we're talking about,
October. That's too late.
Well, it's been pushed to August 23rd. And then the advantage of that from May to August was that the upgrades to the facility that they wanted planned will be done by then. Before they're adding more restrooms and things like that, that wouldn't have been done for the May event, but they will be done for the August event. But I'm wondering, you know, because, you know, because of medical issues and safety issues, how close to an event would they cancel it? You know, like they're trying to give people as much heads up as possible, people getting flights and hotel rooms. And I'm sure all that stuff is refundable, but I mean, do you roll up to like August 1st or do you roll up to August 20th, 3 days before the event and going, yeah, it's happening or it's not happening. Like what sort of commitment?
They want people there. It's, you've got to give them time to plan, time to, you know, because unlike us who we're just free and easy guys, a lot of these people have kids that are going back to school that time of year, things like that. And they've got to plan all that.
Yeah, and you're getting into the fall and you're getting into the flu season again. And I don't know about you guys. You guys probably have more of a schedule than I do. But, man, everything is like August, September, October. It's like we're not going to have a day off in 3 or 4 months. It's like everything is back to back to back. And it's being double booked. So, you know, for events that we can attend, it's kind of like, well, shoot, unless I want to fly, which I don't right now, I'm going to have to beeline it from one event to another and miss the last day or the first day of this. And it's nuts.
And that's if those events stay. We're seeing events drop off and change and things like that. And so it's all fluid. I just want to know if we're really going to see the racing that we want to see, because if these guys have to maintain social distancing and you're coming down the main straightaway and you're vying for position and they have to make sure they stay 6 feet apart.
6 feet apart.
Yeah, is that racing? Or when they come into the pits and they can only have four guys jump the wall because they have to maintain 6 feet apart? I mean,
it's going to be tough. I'll tell
you, all these vehicles should handle better because they'll have a wider track of, you know, wheelbase. So wheel width.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I heard they're going to put knockoffs on that look like the old – Roman chariots with the spikes, like and that's 6 feet, and that way if they touch, they know. You know, it's we could all kinds of good
like the semi trucks. Yeah, the semi trucks have the lugs with the big
thing. He just commented on that last night because we were driving the Morgan to a friend's house, and we were next to some big trucks, and you know, the Morgan's basically an open wheel. Yeah, they're pretty much at eye level.
Lisa
looks over and she goes, why do they have to do that? And I'm like, honey, just keep your hands in the car. Just keep your hands in the car. was very intimidating when
this makes the Alex Zanardi story that much more concerning, right? Because there's a semi truck involved.
This is almost a recumbent.
Like, luckily, they didn't say there was a terrible like cut up kind of accident. It was like some sort of head trauma. So I think he got bumped off the road, not stabbed by one of those damn wheel lugs, but you know, I don't know. We'll find out more details on that. Have you guys seen on the stuff I posted on Instagram for the truck? I've got a question for you guys on the truck. Obviously, you know, we're trying to do something very custom on the Ford Lightning. It's over at Galpin Autosports, and they've been doing a lot of work on it, doing the entire rear axle that we showed you, putting the rear housing. We welded on new end caps on a jig, and then they were going to clean it and paint it, and it was such a pain in the ass trying to get all that stuff off. They just sent it out for sandblast and gave it a nice powder coat, and it should be good. You know, it's one of those things that really kind of bugs me when you do all this detail work on a car, especially even underneath as you're doing it. And then just the axle housing always looks terrible. It's always rusty and terrible. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
it's good to powder coat it instead of paint it.
That's it. It's got a good powder coat on it. They're assembling it with the good Mark Williams axles and putting the diff and everything back in. So the front, we got... You know, we cut the frame a little bit. We custom mounted the steering box. It's a Flaming River steering box.
And re-drilled for your new box, right?
Yeah. So the only reason why it was cut out and that plate was there is because in the boxed frame are the tubes, the anti-crush tubes. So when you bolt it up, it doesn't squish the axle. Right. And they needed to cut out the factory Ford ones.
right? There's three bolts on the factory Ford one. And then they welded on a new plate with new tubes to match up to the four bolts on this GM box. And then on the outside of the frame, they have different length standoffs so the steering box is where it needs to be.
Right, it stays in line, yeah.
Right.
Way too much work, Matt. Way too much work.
Actually, it wasn't that bad, except what happened was everything was done. We found a Pitman arm to work. We lowered the truck a little bit, not with the wheels and stuff on it because the rear axle was in, but lowered the truck just to kind of feel how it would work. And I'll tell you, it's beautiful. It is so smooth and it's tight and it's got a one piece steering shaft. But what I mean is it is collapsible in the center, but it's got the U joints on the end. So there's no more rag joints. So that won't get sloppy and wear down. It feels great. And you're one turn, like 1 1/4 turns for left, 1 1/4. So it's 2.5 lock. It feels great. But we noticed is, we got in there, turned the car on. The power isn't even hooked up to it yet, the power steering, but it just has a good feel, super smooth. Turn it to the right, and the wheels go left. And turn it to the left, and the wheels go right. And
what's wrong with that?
And I don't know why we all sort of missed this, but these steering boxes from a bunch of the GM cars, the boxes are in the front, and the steering linkage is behind the box, right? Yeah. And so that Pitman arm goes down. Now on our box, the steering and on the truck, the steering linkage is in the front, right? So now,
oh man,
this is what I'm left with is they do not make a reverse rotation box like Flaming River and some other companies. I think AGR does. And out here in LA, we've got a company called Lee's Power Steering. They've been around for a long time. Very, very good steering power, you know, power and manual steering box rebuild guys. And they said they could go into the box, pull out that main worm gear, put a reverse one in there. However, they only have 14-1 ratio. They don't have 12.
Semi-truck ratio.
Right. So I don't know where we were with the truck to begin with, like 16 or 18. So 14 would be an improvement, but it kind of doesn't get me to the 12 that I wanted. Right.
So, okay. Yeah. Let me tell you this. My Mini Cooper right here.
Yeah.
That thing has a very short ratio steering box.
Yeah.
Or steering setup. And it's obviously small and narrow and all that. So you think, well, it's proportion. I don't know what the ratio is offhand, but that thing is gnarly to drive. The faster you go, the gnarlier it gets because all I do is just barely move it and I'm in the next lane. Yep. So as much as you want a 12, a 14 may be more user-friendly because you may find that same thing in that truck is that you're all over the place because you've narrowed that ratio so much.
Yeah, but we've tightened up everything else on the truck, right? Like suspension and everything is much tighter, so it is much more precise. It's much lower center of gravity. Like, what would be the difference between, you know, a hot-rodded muscle car or something modern, like, you know, the modern...
Where does the gear come out of the box, Matt? Where's your connector? Your spine?
The spline for the Pitman arm?
For your arm that you said it's pointing to the back, right?
No, it's the box is in the same location as it would be for either your 69 Camaro or your this truck. The difference is the box comes out, the Pitman arm comes down, but the GM steering linkage is under the box to the back of the Pitman arm. So it makes like a U shape. Mm-hmm. My steering linkage is in front of the box. So there's a box, Pitman arm, and then the linkage goes that way. So the way to do it, actually, I found an interesting sort of reverse gear conversion that would be in line of the steering shaft, right? But I don't like that at all. We all looked at the thing and we're like, no way.
That's like that adapter guy uses.
In yeah.
I'm going to plug 29 items into this one outlet, you know?
Yeah.
It looks a little like that. You're going to end up with a 21 ratio.
So we could go with the 14 to 1 gear, or I can make a 12 to 1 gear. I already spoke to our friends at Evod, who does tons of custom machine work, and they said they haven't done a steering box, but they recently did do some similar type gears for like a John Deere tractor. And I said, well, how do you do it? What do you make it out of? And he said on that particular application, they used a 4340 steel. And he said, you know, it seems like it could be done. They would take the worm gear out. It has a couple holes, like pinholes and things and grooves in it for sort of rings, almost like imagine like O-rings or piston rings, and fluid goes through it. But the gear itself wouldn't be that complicated. They would take out what they have, scan it, put it into their software, reverse the gear, and then start from there. But the machining process takes longer if you use a very hardened steel compared to aluminum, Brad, as you know, making wheels. You know, he's like this gear could take 8 hours to cut. You know, and cost is a little bit of an issue, but not a huge issue. It's not like it's going to cost $10,000 to make a gear. Like the cost to send the box out to a company like Lee's or AGR and have them rebuild it with a 14 one gear versus having these guys do it, there's a little bit extra cost because of some CAD design, but it's not drastically different. So my first question is, does anybody have any idea what steel is being used for inside the gears of the steering box? I even asked Flaming River, and the guy responded with, it's the same as OE, whatever OE uses. Like, we have the box made by an OE supplier. I was like, okay, so you don't know.
OE steel.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to reach out and find out what it is. It's got to be some sort of hardened steel. Well, again, it's a big
like gear. It would be like a 4130 chromoly or something like that. But what you need to do, everything you're talking about, okay, great alternatives. There's a place over in the city of Commerce.
Okay.
They're just off the freeway, and they are a brocher. I used to use them to do broaching for stuff at Boyd's. And they're a broach and gear shop. That's all they do. You take them what you need, and they make it. And I used to go there all the time. They're very reasonable. And because that's all they do is broach and gear. And they'd probably be able to answer every one of your questions. And I'd probably be like, yeah, we do that. That's like, what else?
But they won't be able to scan and reverse it.
That's okay.
They would just say, okay, we need this and we need it the opposite. Okay, great. So,
yeah. All right. We need to find out the name of that company because off the freeway doesn't help me.
No, it's like, you know where the Commerce Casino is right there?
No, I never go out there. I live in Venice.
You don't ever drive up the 5 freeway and you pass it. It says Broach and Gear, and it's got a big gear on the sign. And it's one of these cool old signs from like the 50s or the 60s. But I went in there when I had my watch company, when I was doing tons of trade shows, and I introduced a watch called the Gearbox. And I went in there like a kid one day, and I said, hey, man, do you got any old gears over in your trash? You know, because they have these bins of these bitchin' gears. And they said, oh, yeah, go do whatever you want. I came back. I had one gear that it had to be 100 pounds. I took it out on a two-wheeler. And you guys might have seen it around my shop before. I used to have an aluminum small block race motor mounted vertically, and it was on a tube with a giant gear as the base. And he goes, yeah, give me $50. I walked out with like all these cool gears, and I've still got bunches of them because we used to display the watches on them. You know, we'd grind them and clear them. But that's the first place I would check, Matt, because they might be able to build you a gear and just like, yeah, no problem. We've done those gears or something similar. We just got to size it down. Because he has all the machinery that makes that kind of stuff. Yeah, I might say you have to buy 100 of them, but.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, Matt, you know, this is going to be great because after you've done all this work and spent all this money, your truck, it's going to sit a little lower, but it's going to look exactly like a stock truck.
That's not true. I got really expensive wheels.
That's right. And they're okay. bigger.
Other than a set of wheels bigger. And spring, now, Matt, no one will know could. That you did all this stuff because it's going to look normal.
Matt, we could overcomplicate the hell out of this.
Guys are nuts.
We could machine what? You a billet. We could overcomplicate the hell out of this thing. Build you machine you a billet aluminum steering wheel that has a pad with some kind of magnetic readers that send a signal down to another thing that reverses everything so that when you turn that way, it tells the steering box to turn that way. We'd have to get some programmers in. We'd have to get a lot of people, but we could really make it. And then the one time that there's a little bit of a glitch and you go like that, it could be an issue. But I'm
so just, like, or, just do rear wheel steering.
Or I could just leave it the way it is. When I want to go left, I turn right. I just never valet park the truck.
I, don't know, it'd be awesome. Anyway. I think you should leave it, put it together before you change it, and then get Corolla and go, dude, you got to drive my truck. It is so cool. And when he goes to pull out of the parking lot, he goes, what are you doing, dude? And then just
don't you know how to drive? What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? Your brain must be wired backwards.
I hope you got insurance because you broke the gear in my steering box and it was brand new. We can get it over.
I am going to get this fixed. I'm going to get this resolved. This is part of the custom process. Look, when they called, they said, hey, man, we got good news and bad news. Good news is steering is nice. Bad news is goes the wrong direction. More. And I did not have a care in the world. I was like, it's fine. Let's work it out. Let's go through a few options and,
you know,
and we'll figure it. I mean, that's what it is. It's custom. It's
who's to say which
way the rabbit hole.
Who's to say which way the steering's supposed to go anyway? Henry Ford, did he like say, you turn this way, the car goes that way? Maybe you just start a new trend, man.
Yeah.
Listen, all I think of is the movie Cars with when Paul Newman is teaching Lightning McQueen, Doc is teaching Lightning McQueen how to drive in the dirt track. And you know, they start drifting a little bit. He goes, you got to turn left to go right. And he's in the dirt and he's got the wheel turned the other way. And I just keep popping in my head because when we did the film, when we did the documentary, I went to Pixar and I talked to John Lasseter at the time. And he was sort of courting Paul Newman to be in the film. And it took a long time, months and months. And they ended up doing an agreement and they recorded all in Connecticut in his hometown, Newman's hometown. And Lasseter would go out there and they'd be talking, like even off the air, and about cars and about driving. And he was talking about going on the dirt. And he's like, you got to turn left to go right. And Lasseter's like, I love that line. I love that, what you just told me. And so they went back to Palo Alto, rewrote the lines for Newman for that, sent it back over there and put that in there. So Newman added those lines basically in there, and you got to turn left to go right, which I thought was such a standout line.
Yeah.
Then Lasseter ended that story by going, when the movie came out, we got a lot of reviews saying that although it's an animated movie, it was one of the most like authentic racing, like technical racing stuff because of lines like that. And it was Newman who put them in. So I just so keep thinking about the truck. I was like, I got to go left to go right. Like, I get it. That's not what he meant. He didn't mean like pulling out of the Taco Bell drive-through. He meant while you were drifting, but you know, the same idea.
And who's Newman guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this guy, Paul Newman. I don't think
he used to be on the cover
him.
Of Mad Magazine. Remember?
There's the poster.
So, guys, we've been talking about Ford way too much on this. We've got to go to the good side, the good side of things.
You're breaking up, Brad. I guess we're done here. I'll see you next week.
Speaking of drive backwards, the right side. We're going British.
Yeah. All right.
New project right there. You guys have seen it.
My
Yukon XL. Now.
Wait. When you hold up a picture of a Yukon XL, but it has a trailer and a shell of a car on it, and you say new project, what are we talking about here?
That right there. Now, you guys know, is that
an Isetta on the back of
that? You know how popular the
OBS trucks
are. And now we saw it go from like the 60, 70 era C10s, then into the square bodies, now the OBS, and we see prices start going, yeah, and we see the prices start climbing. So now I'm starting to get calls from lots of wheel guys for those, you know, 2000 to 06 Silverados, GMCs, and it's because they're dirt cheap, they're plentiful, and guys can have fun.
None of them have AC.
No, they do. But my my Yukon XL, which I love this truck, and I'm going to keep it forever because it was the last year that they offered it with the 8.1 Vortec. Now, that 8.1 Vortec, it's a really rare motor because they called it the Duramax killer because mine's the 2500 series, you know, the big 8-lug truck. But these 8.1 liter motors, they're a 454 block, but they're 496 cubic inches. Mm-hmm. And they came from the factory with 340 horsepower and 450 foot pounds of torque. So
you put one of those in Red Voodoo.
Yeah. They're awesome. and everything else on that 2500 series was built. And it's when I go trolling, people always say, oh, that thing must just drink gasoline. Around town, yeah, it uses quite a bit. But when you're towing, it actually gets better than a small block because you're not putting your foot in it as much. You're just, you know.
Yeah.
And I've towed big boats. I've towed open car trailers and closed car trailers. So now that it almost has 300,000 miles on it, it's time to blow it apart. Wow. And I mean, I'm going to go at this thing from the front bumper to the rear bumper. And I've got our friend Dave Merrick doing a rendering for me to make it look more contemporary. And
like a dragster.
So we're going to do some exterior, real light exterior things to make it look a little more contemporary. I'm machining a set of one-piece forged billet aluminum wheels for it. And we're not going to do them polished. I'm going to do them in a really good color with a little splash of color on the truck, and I'm going to redo the interior. I'm going to add some of the things that I miss in that truck, like a stereo with Bluetooth and
ejectable sunroof.
Is that
still happening? Or
that's done. That's
all
done.
The windows were rolled down.
But I mean, I'm talking. I'm going to put
it won't rattle.
All new switches. Replace everything so it's a brand new vehicle. Tear all the suspension out, have the rear end rebuilt, and really go through it from shocks to bushings so that it is a brand new truck again because it's never been wrecked. It's perfect. It hardly has a ding in it. And I think it'll be a great project that'll help me have a brand new tow vehicle again, but also with a lot of these guys that are looking at what they can do with the Silverados and with the Suburbans and the Yukons, some of the things that I'm going to do to it just to lighten it up and make it look a little bit newer and nicer. And one of the very first things is new headlights and taillights because
those are terrible.
I hate that they have fogged over, man. We've got three minutes, guys.
And Brad, I got to say, the velour and the cut pile carpet in those really wears well. So are you
gash doesn't crack when you have shag on it, buddy. It has that original leather interior that the back two seats, they've never been sat.
Made from space buffaloes.
The third row seat has been wrapped in plastic in my warehouse. It's like brand new. But so we're going to do factory leather back in it. But then what I'm going to do is get like WeatherTech or, some really, really high quality custom fit seats and all the mats and everything, just so it's a really good utilitarian but good looking truck with a nice stereo, some Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And then I can jump in it and go anywhere. I don't have to worry about it, you know?
If you need any advice on how to improve the steering, let me know.
I was going to ask.
I'm an expert in steering now.
Well, if I'm backing up with a trailer, why not have it like that? It would just be
That's what I'm perfect. Saying. It's the
I wouldn't
perfect
have to turn left to go right.
Yeah.
I was excited. I thought you were going to say, we're going to make it a 6x6.
No. I want to be able to drive it every day and not have to worry about it being reliable.
You can drive a 6x6.
Less than a minute. We're going to end the show on that. Guys, 496 with a root supercharger sticking to the hood because I don't want any problem. And a P-Tech gear drive.
You know, since these trucks are getting popular, does that mean
lose
that
you
I might
in 20 seconds?
I might finally get a I might finally get my blower fixed because I'm missing parts that may be produced again.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. Find us online, and our video is always posted on the Facebook page. And, guys, thanks again. Great show. We had some fun. And we got some great guests coming up in the weeks to come. So hang with us. Shift and Steer. Find us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.